Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Now, just going to, again, do something a little bit dramatic, get one or two people up here just to help us stay awake. But this is a time when we go from one year into the next where we cross over from one year into the next year. And we're going to just take a couple of things from Joshua. So if you want to turn there to chapter 1, we're just going to read a few things from chapter 1 and then some things from chapter 3. We just want to look at a couple of things and just see some of the things that God is saying to us. I believe God wants us all to respond this morning in a particular way. And we're just going to kind of have a look at some of this stuff. So I need a volunteer to help me, somebody who's going to be Joshua. Let's have okay. Mike, yes. Would it be all right if I had somebody who's a bit younger? Is that all right? No, I don't. No, I don't mean. But somebody, maybe a 12, 13, 14 year old. We got somebody that age? Toby, where are you, mate? Toby, come on, mate. Come on, drag him out of the chair there. Come on down, mate. This is one of my lads, Toby. Glad you got out of bed now, mate. Come over here. I don't want to embarrass you, mate. Only for a few minutes. Is that right?
Yeah.
This is Toby. He's nearly as tall as me, which is not too difficult. But okay, now you can be Joshua. Is that all right?
Yeah.
You got a Joshua spirit anyway, haven't you?
Yeah.
Just say the right things, even if you don't think the right things are right. Okay, now, Joshua had been raised by Moses, and he had served Moses, but one of the main things that Joshua had done, he looked after the tent of meeting. So whenever they camped, the people of Israel camped anywhere, and they would set up all their tents, and they would set a tent up outside of where everybody set the camp up, and it's called the tent of meeting. And so whenever Moses wanted to inquire of the Lord, he would go down there, the cloud of glory would come down, and Moses would talk with God face to face. And part of Joshua's responsibility was to set up that tent, or to guard it, to make sure nobody went in there that shouldn't have gone in there, and to make sure everything was in order in that tent of meeting. And so he kind of was around the presence of God a lot, and he was around the man of God a lot. But it came to the time where Moses had died, and Joshua's now going to be leading the nation into the promised land. There was going to be a crossing over that needed to take place, where they needed to go from one period of time into a new period of time, because God had spoken certain things that couldn't be fulfilled in the season of time they were in, and they could only be fulfilled if God moved them into this next territory, physical place, as well as period of time. And one of the things that God obviously had to encourage Joshua with, excuse me, was saying, as we look, sorry, I had a strong curry last night. We had a family curry. Jane's side of the family all came round, and we have this curry night once a year. So it's the following morning, it's fairly, you know. Anyway, just being open with you, letting you into my private life a little while. But anyway, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, so these are your people, okay? What do you reckon? Good bunch or not?
Yeah.
Okay, so these are the people that have been with you and Moses through the kind of desert. Some of them have been moaning and complaining. Any moaners and complainers here? Some have been full of faith.
Yes.
Good. So we've got the faith ones here. The moaners and complainers obviously are still outside. They haven't arrived yet. They're late because they're moaners and complainers. But all those who are full of faith are here. And what he says, now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites, and I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. That's a pretty good promise. Your territory will extend from the desert to the Lebanon and from to the great river, the Euphrates, to all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. So God's speaking to us about Horsham, about the 25-mile radius, about our nation, about Europe. He says, wherever you tread, wherever your feet tread, I will give you the land. All right? So God's thinking big. So God's not just talking about our own, you know, personal circumstances. He's saying that as well as the church, the town, the region, the nation and beyond. He's saying, I'll give you wherever I send you, wherever I lead you, wherever your foot goes, that's yours. So 2008 is going to be a year of taking ground, taking territory that we're not going to give back to the enemy. And for us these days, territory is people's lives.
That's right.
All right, so God's going to be giving lives. We're going to be taking lives this year. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So God's encouraging this guy right at the beginning of this crossing over point. He's encouraging him, saying, look, what has been, but now look forward into what is to come, and I'm going to be with you in all of it. And with that, he says, be strong and courageous. Just puff your shoulders out a bit, mate. Just look hard like I do. Do you know what I mean? Look. Okay, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. You're going to lead all this lot, mate, into the promised land to see everything God has spoken fulfilled. Is that all right? Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Now, what's God doing at this point? God is speaking into his spirit, okay? God is speaking into his spirit. He's not just saying nice words. God is speaking into his spirit at this moment, and he's saying, Joshua, be bold. Joshua, be courageous. All right?
Yeah.
You've been hitting me enough recently, so I'm just getting my own back. He's speaking into his spirit, not just into his mind so that he knows something, but he's speaking into his spirit so that he's convinced on the inside of what God is saying. So that Joshua's dependency is not on anybody else, and it's not on just being part of something, but his dependency comes because God has spoken into his spirit, and therefore he knows God has spoken to me. Therefore, I can be bold and courageous. I can be full of courage because God's speaking to the inside of him, not just to his mind, but into his spirit. And God knew that he had to encourage him, because what was going to take place was going to stretch him. It was going to challenge him. It was going to mean him having to trust God in a fresh way. And so God was speaking into Joshua, be bold, be courageous. You can do what I'm speaking to you about. Okay? Then he says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So God's given a real key here. Okay? He's saying, I'm going to give you the land. And he's saying, now be bold and courageous. But here's a key. He's saying, in order to receive all of that, be careful to obey everything that I command you. So it's not just God giving a promise that will automatically happen, but God is saying, I'm with you. What has been, but what is to come is now what you're going to move into. And be bold and courageous, but in order to have everything and receive everything and see everything, you need to be careful to obey whatever I say. And as you obey whatever I say, then you're going to see everything that I've spoken and promised to you. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. What's the best way to stop from getting deceived or into your own thing? Is to meditate on the word. Some people think that we just need a move of the Spirit. Well, if we just needed a move of the Spirit, then we could chuck the Bible away and say, well, come on, Holy Spirit, just move. Just do whatever you want to do and it'll all happen. But God doesn't just want a move of the Spirit, because God does everything with the Word and the Spirit together. And so there's going to be a new move of the Spirit in this point here for Joshua. But God says, in order to see everything happen, you've got to meditate on my Word day and night. Be careful, don't walk away from it, but make sure the Word is right at the heart of who you are. Make sure the Word, because the Word is going to give you the boldness, going to give you the courage, going to give you the faith, it's going to give you the confidence, it's going to give you the right direction, it's going to give you everything to hold on to, so that as my Holy Spirit blows, then I'm going to fulfill everything that I am saying. You here this morning?
Yes.
You're right, mate. You can get me afterwards. All right. Then he says to him, then you will be prosperous and successful. What has God been saying? The famine is over. Now we're in a time of harvest, a time of abundance. Okay. But God is saying, you've got to be careful though. Meditate on my word. Obey whatever I'm saying to you, and you'll see everything that I'm promising you. Okay. And then he says, be bold and courageous. So he reminds him again, he's speaking into his spirit, be bold and be full of courage. Don't be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Why is God saying that? Because he knows on the way there'll be opposition and there'll be the possibility of discouragement. See, what does faith do? Faith looks at what is not seen as though it was. And so God knows that at points Joshua is going to get discouraged along the way because of opposition, because of different things. But God's saying, don't worry about the discouragement that might come your way. Don't be terrified whatever comes your way. Just continue to trust in me. Sometimes we just think the Christian life is a bit of a cakewalk, don't we? Well, if God just said this and did that, then everything would be all right. But we're always, if we're going to move in the things of God, we're always going to get opposition. We're always going to get discouragement trying to knock us off where we're going. It's just part of the course, isn't it? And so God was encouraging this guy, look, you've got my word, you've got my direction, be bold, be courageous, you've got something in your spirit, you're the man, I've called you at this point, you're going to lead these people into the promised land. And so no matter what comes, whether you get terrified, whether there's discouragement, just continue to move forward in whatever I've spoken to you about, okay? Now, let's just flip over to chapter 3. So God has spoken to him and encouraged him and strengthened him. Then in chapter 3, they're on the edge of the Jordan about to cross over. And it says from chapter 3, the beginning of the chapter, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. So what's God saying? He's saying, right, I'm about to take you into the promised land. You're going to begin to see the fulfillment of everything that I've spoken to you about. Okay, the officers go amongst the camp, making sure everybody's ready, just getting them on their toes, making sure they're all going to be ready to move together. But he says here, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and all the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Now, we don't have a cloud or whatever. We don't have a physical thing like an ark that somebody, the leaders, are going to carry out in front of us. God has put his spirit inside of us. And what God is saying to us is, whenever you hear the Spirit speaking and however you see the Holy Spirit moving, you've got to go with it. So when the Holy Spirit speaks and when the Holy Spirit's doing stuff, that's where I am. That's where I'm doing stuff. So that's where you've got to be. Because what God is doing in 08 is different from what he was doing in 07. So we can't do and believe for the same things in 07 that he's now taking us into in 08. Are you here? So what does God say in verse 5? Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. That's what I believe God wants us to do this morning. Whether if you're a single person, then as an individual, if you're married, then you need to do this personally, but also as a couple. And if you have family, then we need to do this as families. I believe God is saying that we're at a point of crossing over into 08 in a natural year, but also God has been speaking to us about harvest and about being out of famine and in abundance and all of that, and how it's a point of crossing over, that this is the last Sunday of 2007, and for many it's probably been a great year. Maybe for some it's been tough. Maybe at certain moments it's been difficult. Maybe for some you wanted to say goodbye to 07 and you want to really welcome in 08. Maybe others you've had an awesome year and you think, man, how can God top 07 because it's been so good? But God wants to top anything that he's done before and do things in our lives that we've never seen before. Are you here? And this coming year, you know, like these guys, when they went into the promised land, they had to change the way they do things. Before they were following and they were dependent on God doing certain miracles, but when they came into the promised land, they had to become a fighting people. They began to do things in different ways than they had done before. And so therefore, if the Holy Spirit is being released to move to do certain things, then we need to move with the Holy Spirit so that we see those things happen through our lives. And so this morning, what I believe God said to me yesterday when I was praying was that he wants us to consecrate ourselves this morning, because he's saying, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. That we actually really do submit to him today, to be available for whatever he may want to do in the coming 12 months. On Christmas Day, the message that we had was about the Good Samaritan. And maybe it's not a particularly Christmassy message, but Jesus came, not for himself, but for every one of us, so that we might know God. And in the same way, now that many of us are born again, we're here not for ourselves, but we're now here for people that don't know Jesus. And therefore, are we available for whatever God may want to do during 08? Are we on the journey that we're on with God like the Samaritan? Are we prepared for our journey to be interrupted by somebody else's life, so that we can then pick them up and help them onto the journey that God has for them? And that was the kind of message that we had. And in one sense, this morning, we're going to take a few minutes just to consecrate ourselves. What does that mean? The word consecration means to bring yourself, or first it means to be set apart, to consecrate yourself, to set yourself apart from what you normally might do, and you set yourself apart for whatever God wants. Consecration is like a fresh submitting. It's like allowing God to be Lord of our lives in a fresh way. It's bringing ourselves under his lordship, saying, okay, Father, you've got things for this year, but in order for me to see them, I need to be obeying what you're saying, meditating on your word day and night so that I don't get distracted, so that I stay focused and stay sharp. But I want to be right where you are, where you're moving. Because that's where the anointing of the Holy Spirit is in 2008. Every one of us is anointed because we're anointed, because the anointing of the Holy One is upon us. But also, where we're going to see that anointing work is where God is working. So we can't just decide where we want to do something. It's going to be down to where God wants to do something. And these guys here, they had to consecrate themselves so they were ready to cross over into the promised land, so they then moved in a way that God wanted to move, so that they saw everything that he wanted to see. Amen? Let's all stand up, shall we? You're right, mate. So what I'd like you to do, if your family is here, I'd like you to go and find your children, or children find your parents. We all need to be together in our respective family groups if you're a family this morning. So if you're sitting without your parents, you need to go and find your parents for a minute. If you're a husband and wife here and you're sitting in different parts of the room, then just come together and be healed in the name of Jesus. But we're going to take a few minutes just to consecrate ourselves for what God wants to do in our lives and through our lives in this coming year. As families, first of all, God wants us to consecrate our homes, our families. There's a lot of pressure on family life these days, a lot of pressure on our young people, on our children, to live certain ways, conform. There's pressure on all of us to do all of that. But, you know, we want to provide a place where our children, the home that we live in, a place where our children can find rest, peace, and the presence of God in our homes. So that the biggest influence on their life is the breath of God, not somebody else's breath and expression of life and how they think it needs to be. Whatever that might be, whether it's friendship groups, peer pressure groups, whether it's media, other people's words and breath or whatever are coming out all the time to say, you've got to be like this, live like that, conform to this. But actually, what they need to find in our own homes is the strongest influence on their life is the breath of God. All right? So is everybody with their respective families for a minute? Okay. You might need to find a bit of space. Feel free to come out of the aisles if you need to, just into the rows, into the aisles. But we're going to just take a few minutes, and we're just going to pray together, okay? And pray as families or as married couples or obviously as an individual. Just going to consecrate yourself to the Lord, okay? Now, I believe God wants to just bring a fresh anointing of His Holy Spirit upon our lives as we consecrate ourselves to Him. What does He say here? Consecrate yourselves for a reason. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. Yes. Amazing things among you. So we're not just consecrating ourselves so that, oh, that's it, I've done that. Hallelujah, I'm holy for the year or whatever. But it's because, excuse me, God wants to do amazing things.
Yes, come on.
Yes.
God wants to do amazing things. What do you reckon? Okay, so let's just take a few moments. Wherever you are, just close your eyes. If you're a couple, then just get together. If you're a family, just gather around for a minute. Just close your eyes wherever you are. All of the children, you're part of this. God's got His hand upon your life. Whatever age we are, God wants to work through our lives this year, to in us, but also through us, to touch other people's lives. In schools, in colleges, universities, in the workplace, in the home, in all of our social environments, whatever, wherever we are, whatever age we are, God is no respecter of persons. If you consecrate yourself this morning, if you bring yourself under His Lordship this morning and say, Father, I just want to submit myself to You for this next 12 months. I want You to be Lord of my life in a fresh way. I want to surrender to You. I give You my heart, my mind, my body, my soul, my spirit, my emotions, my will. I just surrender all of that to You. That's what we're doing this morning, bringing ourselves under His Lordship and asking Him to come upon us afresh for this coming year. Yes. That our lives will emanate, if you like, the flavor of God. That our lives will just ooze with the flavor of God, with the presence of God in this coming year. 08, you start with a clean sheet of paper. 07 has happened. It's kind of virtually finished. We're leaving that behind now. Saying goodbye to 07, but Father, I want to start with this clean sheet of paper in 08. I surrender myself afresh right now. Let's just take a few minutes to do that. Just talk to the Lord. Bring yourself under His Lordship. Just surrender your mind, your emotions, your will, your body, your heart, your motives and desires, your spirit, your whole being, your body. Just submit everything to Him right now. Bring yourself under His Lordship. Ask Him to rule and reign in your life in a fresh way for this coming year. Do you want to go down there? You don't have to be up here anymore if you don't want to. All right, what do you want to do? Thank you, Jesus. As married couples now, you just submit your marriage to him. Bring that under your lordship. That your marriage is going to permeate with the fragrance of Christ this year. It's going to be permeated with the love of Christ. It's going to be permeated with the flavor of Christ, with the goodness of God this year. If you've got children, just pray right now as a family. Maybe link hands or arms or whatever. But just bring your whole family life under his lordship. That his Holy Spirit's just going to permeate through your family life, permeate through your home, permeate in everything you do. Guard the presence of God in your home with your kids. Guard the kind of things that go on in your home, the things you watch, whatever you have on telly or DVDs or music that goes on in your home, whatever. Guard the presence of God in your home this year. Let it be a place of the flavor, of the fragrance, and of the presence of God. Let your home be a place of the breath of God this year, so that when our children come in from school or whatever situations they've been in, they come into a place where there's the weightiness of God, where there's the presence of God, where we're cultivating, if you like, because of what we do in our homes through worship and the word and other things, that we're cultivating the presence of God in our home, so that the presence of God affects our children when they're awake, when they're asleep. Anoint, maybe, you know, anoint your kids' pillows and rooms with oil afresh for 2008. Just maybe anoint your home in a fresh way for 2008 with the presence of God, with the fragrance of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Then Joshua says to the priests, in their situation, take up the Ark of the Covenant. What's that? Take up the presence of God. So they took up the presence of God and went ahead of the people. The presence of God is key for this coming year. The difference between us and every other religion is the presence of God. Cultivate the presence of God this year, because that is the difference between Christians and every other religion or belief that is out there. Cultivate the presence of God and you will see the power of God released. The power of God is the difference between what we believe and who we have in our lives and every other religion and faith. You carry the presence of God. You carry the power of God all of the time with you. Cultivate that in your life individually. Cultivate that in your marriage. Cultivate that in your family. The presence of God. Because the presence of God is tangible. There's something flavor that flavors you. Something that brings out the life of God when you're around others. Cultivate the flavor of God, the presence of God. And you'll see the power of God in a fresh way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you right now just for your fresh anointing upon our lives. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit moving in a fresh way amongst us. We thank you that we can wave goodbye to 2007, that we've lived it, we've done it, we've been there, we don't have to go there again. Any regrets, just leave them behind today, right now. If any of you have got any regrets about 07, just cut them off right now. Just give them to the Lord. Say, those things, Father, I just give them to you. I lay them at your feet right now. I let go of anything right now that I wish I hadn't done, been involved with. Just repent of anything. Ask him to forgive you. And just leave 07 behind. Say, it's done and dusted. It's dead and buried now. It's gone. Now just look at the day dawning on 2008. The sun is rising on a new year. You have a fresh, clean life in front of you. And God wants to write things in 2008 about your life. Just give him every day of 2008. Father, I want to honor you, serve you, bless you, give to you in 2008. I want what's written on the pages of my life for 2008 to glorify you and honor you. I want to please you this year. I want to serve you this year. I thank you that you give me your Holy Spirit afresh right now in order to enable me to live the life you've called me to in 2008. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just raise your hands high in the air, wherever you are, whatever age you are. Just raise both hands right now to the Lord. Father, we thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Yes. Father, I thank you for that fresh anointing right now upon our lives for this coming year, that every day can be a day where we serve you, honor you, and see you glorified in us and through us, individually and corporately as a church. Yes, we thank you we're going to see things in our town that we've never seen before. Yes. Things in the 25-mile radius that we've never seen before. Things in this nation we've never seen before in our lifetime of you moving and doing things in a fresh way. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your awesome, wonderful name. Come on, let's thank him for 2008 and everything he's going to be doing. Thanks, mate.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.